Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Friday, 12 August. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Carmen Maporani from Absa, MTN results, Bidcorp updates, and then you've got Rami Hajar from Allan Gray, talking challenges and opportunities in Africa, and Africa specifically, but also some emerging markets. And then some thoughts from me on a long road back for inflation after that. Frankly, good data point earlier in the week, but as commented yesterday by Nwaba, 8.5%. How's that been good is a scary thought. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb: why Rain needs telecom merger even more than MTN. The Rain 5G mobile rollout is hugely expensive. And then from Business Day, regulator slaps down Rain's overture to telecom. The takeover regulatory panel basically said, yo, you can't do that. You need to retract it. There are rules if you want to take over a business. Morning markets, US was red. S&P off 0.1%. NASDAQ down 0.2%. Asia's mixed. We got Sydney down 0.75%. Tokyo almost 2.5% to the green. Commodities all green overnight, mostly modestly so. Gold, $1,806 an ounce. Brent, $99.01 a barrel. Platinum, $956. Palladium, $2,273 an ounce. Rand, 16.25. Top 40 opening call, about 100 points to the red. That's just under 0.25%. That as Tencent trades down 0.33% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Carmen Maporani, a portfolio manager at Absa Asset Management. Carmen, appreciate the early morning time. MTN results out yesterday. This is 6 months to end June. I got to say, I looked at them. I thought these are good set of results. Our data's doing well. Lots working in their favor. Yo, the market really liked those results.
Definitely. I think the key point was that going into these numbers, there was a lot of weakness. So prior to the trading statement, and the weakness came from, I think, an overall fear around them being able to get their cash out of Nigeria, which they have now proven that they've been able to do. So they've de-risked on that side and repatriated about $4.5 billion. But as you've said, I think, you know, revenue up, EBITDA margin up marginally as well, adjusted HEPS up. They literally are doing everything that you'd want a company to do. And they're doing so with, in the same breath, as de-risking the balance sheet. So I see the 10%, but I still think there's a ways to go. Relatively still trading very cheap to its peers. And you can't compare them. They're chalk and cheese. Yeah. So compared to Vodacom, compared to Telkom, if you want to add that into the basket. But I honestly don't think that we've seen the last of what MTN can do. So I expect there to be more strength going forward, but we'll have to see what comes out of the fintech number or the fintech information towards the end of the year.
Yeah, and I take your point. I mean, it really was. It was almost like a university lecture of this is how to run a business. a theoretical, and yet they did it in the practice. A couple of trading updates coming through. I got to say, Bidcorp, another, David Shapiro tweeted yesterday, and he said, I was going through results and stuff, and he said, man, South African managers, when they put their head down, they are really good. And I mean, Bidcorp, yes, there's some base effect in here, but in what's been a challenging period, I thought not a bad update either. And again, market liked it.
No, completely. Share price, I think, was up almost 5% yesterday on the back of this. And definitely one of the benefactors of the economy that's opening, but that's what a lot of companies should be experiencing. But I think when we get the meat of the numbers in the actual release of the financials, we'll see whether this tailwind is coming from its bigger markets, so Australia and New Zealand. So let's see what happens there. But I think more importantly was the guidance that post-year end, they're still seeing strong performance. So definitely a positive, specifically, you know, in the current environment. But I think key things to look out for is going to be around inflation in Europe and how they are actually absorbing that, and obviously increasing UK wages. So as you've mentioned, again, another positive outcome. And I think that pandemic has given a lot of managers sort of a case study. And if they were able to correct and adjust accordingly, they had a perfect platform to jumpstart from going forward.
Yeah, almost in a sense, some companies actually came out of that pandemic stronger than they went into it, because they had a good hard look at balance sheets and costs and businesses and made a plan. A quick last one is It's a Towel, which also had an update, and another one where, you know, they're doing the best they can in a tough environment. But the short answer is the South African consumer, we have stopped doing DIY.
No, completely. I think, you know, as the trend has shifted, if you go out into the malls, if you go out to restaurants, we're seeing a different trend. Mm. People are no longer staying at home. And not only that, we've seen savings go up quite significantly despite people doing DIY. But I think that the importance that people have placed on the home now is now shifted, because they've done what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And now they want to experience things. So everything is more experiential. So I think the services sector is going to get a boost going forward, rather than as you've mentioned, the hard, the DIY kind of stuff.
Yeah, literally everything that needed fixing in my flat is now fixed. Now we can go and have dinner and the like. We'll leave it there. Carmen Mapuwani, Portfolio Manager, Absa Asset Management. Always appreciate the early morning insights. And that's our question today. And as Carmen said there, MTN, Vodacom, Telkom, we kind of bucket them together, but they're different. Question on our LinkedIn and Twitter is, which do you prefer? Do you have a preference between them? Perhaps it is none. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
If seagulls were hardy-dars who could afford to retire to the coast, what kind of bird would you be? Would you soar over the savannah or chase summer around the globe? You see, even when you stop working, your money won't. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Rami Hajar, he's fund manager at the Africa XSA Equity Fund at Allan Gray. Rami, appreciate the time today. I suppose let's kick off inflation on the rest of the continent. We're talking Africa excluding SA. How are we seeing inflation and impact on markets and to the rest of the continent?
Okay, so I think it's important first to distinguish between two types of inflation. Mm-hmm. There's a demand pull inflation, which normally comes when growth is strong, and then there's the cost push inflation, which follows a supply shock. And what we're seeing today is a cost push inflation following a global supply shock that's leading to a jump in food and energy mm-hmm. prices. The problem with this type of inflation is that local central banks have less capacity to deal with it.
Yeah.
And at the same time, higher prices are leading to lower purchasing power, so lower demand and lower growth. So that's one impact. Another impact is that central banks are forced to raise interest rates just to keep pace with developed markets and to manage inflation expectations. Higher rates, also meaning tighter monetary policy, is also leading to lower growth. But there is one more aspect that's very important, especially in Africa XSA and in other emerging markets, is that inflation is also putting pressure on the budget. And how? It's because a lot of the governments subsidize basic commodity goods, such as in Africa, especially like bread, flour, maize, petrol prices. As price of those has gone up substantially, now the governments are faced with two choices. Either keep subsidizing, and that comes at the cost of the budget, or let prices go up, and that comes, obviously, with a risk that has a lot of political implications, let me say. And yes, we're seeing that today in Sri Lanka. We've seen that historically in Egypt. And other countries are at risk. We're seeing that also in other frontier markets. In India, we've seen that. In Ghana, we're seeing that. In Tunisia, we're seeing everywhere sort of riots happening because of inflation.
Yeah, I take that. I actually hadn't thought of that. Of course, a lot of those subsidies, as you said, it puts pressure on the budget and puts the government between a rock and a hard place. The risk to emerging market economies, I mean, there's a lot of talk out there around potential recessions in developed markets. We had two negative GDP quarters from the US. We won't delve into whether that is or isn't a recession, but Bank of England's worried about the UK, for example. That must pose a risk to emerging markets generally, particularly into the rest of the continent.
Sure. So I would say in general, yes, the slowdown or recession in developed markets will cause a slowdown in emerging markets. But to be more specific, I would say it depends because some emerging markets are already growing strongly. So they're coming off a high growth base. Those emerging countries, including some of the African ones, will not necessarily fall into a recession as technically defined. Some of them also are benefiting from the high commodity price environments.
Yeah.
Those that are commodity exporters of the commodities that are seeing a rally. On the other hand, you have vulnerable countries that are coming off a low growth base or are more exposed to trade with developed markets or are net commodity importers. Those will surely suffer more. But actually, what I worry about more than the growth aspect is that many countries are looking vulnerable from a debt perspective. And the current environment of tighter global monetary conditions, lower risk appetite, higher rates, depreciating currencies is putting a lot of these countries in Africa and outside Africa at high risk of debt distress. And then debt crises, if they occur, are normally associated with a much more severe downturn than a regular global induced growth slowdown. So we're seeing that already in Sri Lanka today, and other countries are at risk.
Yeah, I see that. The recession, it will be dependent on, as you say, different economies responding differently. Mm-hmm. But debt perhaps is the bigger issue. Well, you mentioned currencies as well, and certainly we're seeing some currency weakness in the rest of the continent. And you know, it's going to, again, I imagine, be pockets that are experiencing different types of currency impact. But generally, that currency weakness, is that concerns around debt? Is that more perhaps just around dollar strength?
It's a few things. First of all, it's a pressure on the balance of payments that many countries are experiencing. Mm. So that it's a deteriorating trade balance, meaning rising import bills that have drained hard currency reserves in many countries. So fundamentally speaking, this means lower supply of foreign exchange in the country, while the demand for foreign exchange at best has remained the same, but in actual terms, in many countries, it has gone up because you have also, some countries have seen a lot of foreign investors exiting. Now, that's one impact. The other impact is an important one, is a reversal of what we call the carry trade, where investors seek higher yield investments in riskier countries because of low yield at home. So that's also been impacting currency, and obviously there is sentiment always at play. And today, risk aversion, and sometimes if a country is deemed to have a low capacity to deal with the shock, investors lose confidence in the local currency. And the worst form of that is a self-fulfilling attack on a currency leading to a currency collapse. Example, Sri Lanka and other countries as well are seeing this sort of dynamic.
And you mentioned sentiment, and we've talked in the last couple of minutes around challenges facing the rest of the continent. And there are some, and they are absolutely real. But I'm imagining there's the other side of the coin. And in fact, there's probably some really good opportunities for an investor for such as your fund.
I mean, there's always plenty of good quality companies with solid fundamentals, especially in the Africa universe. The valuations today, where they stand, and especially if we compare them to developed markets, are at a very depressed level, and so which makes me, given the quality of the companies we own, let's talk about the Allan Gray Fund. The quality of the companies we own, we generally invest in companies that are insulated against such downturns, such volatility that we're seeing today, that makes me very excited about the medium term to long run returns in our universe and specifically in our fund.
Yep, I take that point. Even in darkest times, there's opportunity. And your point around valuations, I was, the S&P's back to its long-term average valuation, and that to me is a bit of a head scratcher. We'll leave it there. Rami Hijab, fund manager at Africa XSA Fund at Allan Gray. Really appreciate the time.
Your money gives a damn. If it could protest and sign petitions, your money would. But your money can do more than that. When you invest in StanLib's infrastructure investment fund, beyond getting solid returns, you are helping to build a more sustainable future through job creation and positive economic growth. Damn right you are. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
Thoughts on a long road back for inflation. We got that 8.5% number, and Lynn Wahba said it best yesterday. You know, if we'd got that a year ago, we'd be crying. Now we look at 8.5%, and this is US inflation, of course, and we think to ourselves, yo, that's a good number. It was 9.1 for June. It was expected to be 8.7. It came in at 8.5. And there's a lot of senses. That's it. Inflation's over. And 2 points. Firstly, it might be. I mean, maybe this is the top for inflation. For the US, things are looking different in Europe, and they've certainly got some energy challenges in that space. I chatted with Mohammed Nala around that, I mean, a year ago, and here we are a year later, and it's still looking horrible there. So maybe it is, maybe it's not. But regardless, even if we get another step up in inflation, even if it is the top and it starts to trend lower, it's a long road back to get it into where the Federal Reserve wants it, which is the 2%, sub 2% in fact. And a lot of commentators are saying the Fed will be happy at 3 or 4%. I'm not sure. And certainly if you read the statements and you go through the minutes, there's no indication that they want anything other than 2%. And I appreciate that in part is anchoring it, but it's going to take some time. And the risks are still there. A lot can still happen. This doesn't mean that markets are now just, one-way traffic to the upside. This doesn't mean that the rate increases stop. It doesn't mean that we're not going to see potential further recessionary activity in Europe and in the US. So, yeah, that was a positive data point. But to really throw a cliche out there, one piece of good inflation data doesn't necessarily make a summer.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
That's it for today. We were chatting with Lynn Wahba yesterday around the Nedbank results, and those numbers were good, and he made some great points, particularly around how the interest rates benefit them. Higher rates, he said, extra every 1% increase in prime can add 10% to their profitability. That is absolutely giant. And of course, green energy, they're a huge funding in that space. As we sort of do that rollout from the president's speech of a couple of weeks ago, there's going to be funding. Nedbank's going to be there, and there's some profit there. We asked you, which of the four big banks is your preference? And First Rand was the absolute clear winner by a long way, followed by Standard Bank, and then Nedbank and Absa very much bringing up the rear, sort of equally in third place. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7, wherever good podcasts are aggregated. And thanks to my team, Eddie Nobokle, Nicole, Eleanor, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now at the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news, MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.